Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It is me, your boy Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host Rick Landis. How we doing, good buddy? We are T-minus what, four days from your bachelor party?
Oh, it's less than that.
Three
days of work, buddy.
Okay, so yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday, then Thursday. Yeah, 3 days away from when we embark on Rick's bachelor party. Still, he does not know what's going on, I'm assuming, or unless if he does, he's lying to me, and I appreciate that.
I literally have no idea, and I love it. Like, we're exact opposites in that respect, because You know everything that's going on with yours, and that's not even happening for another few months yet. And mine's happening in 2 days when people are listening to this, and I don't even know where to start, and I love it. And it's so fun. I love surprises, and I'm so excited.
I'm happy I could do that for you, because I'm so happy that you called me and was like, I'm just going to clear these things with you for yours. Sound good? Because if I didn't know, I might have a panic attack. I'm not going to lie to you. You know what I mean? So,
run it by him.
I mean, if we haven't nailed it, then I don't know what else we've done. I think I was a little worried that you might just catch wind or I messed up somewhere and said something that you might remember. But also I have to remember. You basically have short-term memory loss. So
I could probably be diagnosed with it.
For sure.
My head at work today. Not hard, but like I was climbing on some scaffolding and I like knocked my head on one of the boards a little bit. And my coworker was like, "You hit your head so much." I was like, "Yeah, one of these times I'm just going to fall and just like dead fish to the ground." And that happened like, my phone unlocks with Face ID, so as long as it's not too messed up, just open it up, give Gina a call, let her know what's going on.
Just your unconscious body be like, no, it's his face. You gotta look at his, you gotta turn it over for his face. Yeah. Well, other than our future endeavors, Rick, what do you got for us on I think I just had a brain aneurysm. sports in history today.
Oh, wow. Here we go. So usually what I do is I make sure that we're doing the day that everybody should be listening to this, the day the episode drops. However, it's Halloween and I wanted to see what was going on Halloween. Right. So everything you're hearing happened yesterday. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, just because this is fun stuff. So 1988. Do you know what happened in 1988 on Halloween?
Oh man. It's not like going to be some sort of like messed up like mass murder, right? You're not going to corner me on there or something?
No,
like
that happened in 1993.
Okay, good. Good. Well, people in 88 had no idea what was coming.
I'll give you a hint. It was a Monday night.
Yeah, okay. Was it the first Monday Night Football?
It was. Oh. It was the first Monday Night Football game played in Indianapolis between the Colts and the Denver Broncos. And the Colts absolutely smacked around the Broncos 55-23.
Is that pre-Elway Broncos?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about old school football. And then 1993, since you wanted it so badly, 25 people were killed during the Ghana Ivory Coast soccer match.
I did not. I didn't want it. That's the opposite of what I wanted. Damn, a soccer match? That's actually like, part of me is like a little proud of you for not leading with that, because I guarantee you read that and you were like, maybe
that's fun.
that counts. It was a sports good one thing.
Good fact. And 2003, I didn't realize that this happened on Halloween, which makes it even crazier.
Mm-hmm.
So we got something. Excuse me. 2003, have you heard of the sport known as surfing?
I have, yes. I do, yes.
You know what happened on Halloween in 2003 in the surfing world?
Was it a Oh, was it the release of the movie Surf's Up? Featuring Shia LaBeouf?
No, I don't. I don't think that was on Halloween. But now I have to know when Surf's Up was released.
I'm Googling it right now. 2007. Okay. Not even close. Not even close.
Would have been fantastic. But no. So, Halloween 2003.
Mm-hmm.
A young girl, age 13, decides to go surfing.
Oh, is it the movie about the girl lost her arm?
Yeah, Bethany Hamilton.
Ah.
Her arm bit off on Halloween in 2003, apparently.
Yeah, I feel like doing a sport or really anything, honestly, and you're testing possibly getting eaten at any point in time on Halloween, bad idea.
Well, yeah, there's that. But also at the same time, have you seen some of those waves?
Oh, yeah. Was like, that Hawaii, right?
That's got to hurt if you crash under one of them.
You'd be hurted.
Like you could die from that, no problem.
100%. Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm sure people have, for sure.
They have, yeah, they definitely have.
There's 3-4-story waves that people are just
And usually what happens is people will, like, hit their head on a reef or something when they get trashed by a wave. But I respect people that decide they want to spend their lives in the ocean because that is the most terrifying place in the world.
Yep. We only know 2% of it. That 2% still scares me. So I don't even want to. The fact that
we've been around for as long as we have and still don't even know what most of it is.
Lots of technology. In fact, a submarine recently just tried to explore more of the deep, dark depths and imploded. So, like, I feel like we just should not go down there anymore. What we know is what we know.
Yeah. Lesson learned. NASA decided to stop exploring for a reason. Maybe we just leave it alone.
The very disturbing fact that NASA originally started as an organization that was trying to explore the ocean and then said, never mind. To space
maybe,
away.
Maybe they were like, maybe there's like another planet that we could go live on that's like right close to this one.
See, that's disturbing. That's a problem for me.
That does not sit well for me.
you don't like that they saw what is physically on the planet we live on and they decided to poke around in space. That just feels like a bad thing, right?
This feels so bad.
They saw what was down there and
they
sent a message into the cosmos because they saw what's in the ocean. Whatever it is that they actually sent up there, I guarantee you was a lie. It's a call for help. It is what it is. It's a call for help because something's coming and I don't want to know what it is.
Me and my coworker today, me and Jake actually today, we're talking probably one of the scariest jobs is an oil rig person.
Oh.
That is like, you could not pay me enough money to go work on an oil rig.
They make a lot of money.
Couldn't pay me enough. There's not enough money in the world.
Even worse, the night shift.
Yeah.
On an oil rig. Are you kidding me? You're in the middle of the ocean.
Could not pay me enough money.
You could look out.
No sum of money that I would take to do that.
Look out in all four directions. And in fact, all 360 degrees and see nothing.
Just blackness.
Blackness and waves. And you can't see into the water. You don't know what's under there. You don't know what's coming for you. You got no idea. Yeah, that's petrifying. I don't know. How much do they actually make, though? Like, just on like a scale, like... Oh, that's on land. Okay, hold on. Because I saw that and I was like, no way. Absolutely not. There's no way that's it. That's so little. That is so okay. Anywhere from $143,000 to $305,000 a year. That makes sense.
Not enough.
That makes sense to me.
It's not enough.
However, you spend like months on end out there.
Yeah.
Like this, your shifts that, are in months.
This says that there's among the three types of companies drilling contractor workers experience both the largest proportion of fatal fall injuries, 38, and the highest fall associated vitality rate, 4.5 deaths per 100,000 workers. That's just too many.
That way too many. Yeah,
that's just like it's not a lot, but it's too many.
Yeah, and they're like they're not like making hazard pay. Are they making hazard pay? They should.
I think that's like included in the money.
That's Galka. I was gonna say that's got to be. You got to make guys pay with
but
that.
But that's not enough.
You kidding me? Oh my god.
Six figures is not enough.
Any job where the death rate is over 0% should be making hazard pay. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Because, you know, what I do, the death rate is a flat 0%, okay? And that's where jobs should be. Yours is probably, like, in the 0.001 category.
It's probably, like, one per, like, 1 million. But, like, yeah. my line of work is the after you're done working problems.
After the work has been done,
like
shows
you can, you can work in my field for 50 years and then all of a sudden, boom, lung cancer.
That's fair. But you're retired. You've got your whole life ahead of you. You got a good pension, some good money saved up. Boom, lung cancer.
Exactly.
You ever seen those commercials about the dust in your lungs or mesothelioma? Those commercials are made for Rick. Or at least future, I'm sure.
I work in Ambler, Pennsylvania, which at one point was known as the asbestos capital of the world.
Oh, that's pleasant. Love that. That's very pleasant. By the way, folks, if you live in a home with what is considered popcorn ceiling or your ceiling has some texture, you might have asbestos in your home. Going to want to get that
the home I grew up in.
Yes, yes. The split level in Telford. Huge on asbestos, I've heard. Yeah,
big asbestos folk.
Well, hey, other than possible death rates and the ocean being an awful place, this is, after all, a golf podcast. So how about we get into some of that golf? Which, to be honest with you, folks, not a whole lot happened. Just gonna level with you. The biggest chunk of this episode is actually going to be some major details in the TGL league that Rory and Tiger are putting together. We have a location, we have a format, we have a bunch of info, so that's super cool. But we got two things to cover first, and the first one I want to cover here is actually going to be just an interesting conversation on, I guess morality, in a way. Nothing too serious, but for those of you that like to sports bet every now and then, much like myself, this will be interesting here. So $116.20 was the total that was bet between two Korn Ferry golfers on a betting app that is not specified. But on Friday, the tour announced that it had suspended two Korn Ferry Tour players, Jake Staino and Vince India, for betting on the PGA Tour and violating the integrity program in the process. Here's the issue, for me at least. Now, they were suspended for 3 and 6 months, respectively, and the amount that I specified of 116 and 20 cents is their combined, like what combined they would have bet. An incredibly small amount. Mind you, I would never bet that kind of dough, but that's just me. But you have guys out here betting thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. This is an incredibly small amount if you really put it into perspective. Are they not technically not on the PGA Tour, though? You know what I mean?
Their play does not directly affect the PGA Tour in any way.
Right? And like,
I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. I think having these kind of problems with athletes and sports betting is the stupidest thing of all time, because you have bet slips. These bet slips have dates. These bet slips have times. They have every piece of information you need to make sure that they're not betting on anything that they directly affect. I don't understand why a guy who is sitting on his couch on a bye week or sitting and not like playing in a tournament or whatever, I don't understand why they can't bet on something that they physically have no way of messing with. And like, yeah, I get it. Like, NFL players are friends. Like, there might be some kind of collusion there somehow, but guess what? You can get text receipts. You can get call receipts from any phone company that you want. If there's really that big of a suspicion, like if a guy's putting $20,000 down on a game and he's putting it down on the upset and it looks like someone might have thrown the game, guess what? You can just call Verizon and be like, hey, we need this. It's for legal purposes. And that's that. Like, it's not that hard. So I don't understand. I never will understand why guys aren't allowed to bet on sports. They're not any different than us, except for they have more money.
Yeah, and I agree with you, especially when it comes to those like kind of big money amounts. Like, I feel like maybe it should be just a case by case basis. Yeah, if you have a guy playing in the Super Bowl betting $100,000 on an outcome, or a prop or anything involved in the Super Bowl? Yeah, let's investigate that. That sounds a bit fucky to me, right? If it's a guy on the Corn Ferry Tour just fighting week in, week out to get his PGA Tour card, and he wants to do a little gambling on the PGA Tour, let him. Even better, here's, I have information on what the some of the bets were. Ready for this?
Let's hear it.
In 2021 is when the bets were placed. By the way, that was 2 years ago. I don't know what the statute of limitations on that was, but...
should be less than 2 years.
Maybe, right? So one of them had been Bryson DeChambeau to birdie a specific hole in a tournament, and the other three had been on DeChambeau's exhibition grudge match with Brooks Koepka in Las Vegas that fall. Are you serious? Three of the four bets were a non-PGA Tour event?
Yeah, what?
And you're going to suspend them?
That's so stupid.
And then the other bet was just for a guy that you have no control over how they play. You're not even on tour with them. You don't know him to birdie a hole.
No affiliation whatsoever.
It was 2 years ago, right? Like 2 years ago, the guys in question were 25 years old. They were our age.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there definitely should be a statute of limitations in there somewhere. 2 years ago was a bit long.
Yeah.
Because, like, in these guys' minds, that's, like, way behind them. Like, they don't have to worry about it anymore. And then out of nowhere, they're just like, hey, by the way, you're suspended for 6 months because of something you did 2 years ago. Like, we see it all the time when people bring up old tweets from, like, NFL players. And I'm not talking, the Josh Allen tweets that are super funny when he's talking about like being gay with his best friend or whatever.
And like when he tweets about soup.
Not those kind of tweets, but like the mean and the like racist ones and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's like that stuff. Yeah. Like we can bring that back up and it can be a little bit relevant, but like you said, he bet on him to birdie a hole.
Mm-hmm.
He's not affiliated with him at all. And the other three bets were not even PGA sanctioned events. So what's the problem? I feel the same way about I get it. You have to have some control over it because there could be collusion. You can't trust everybody.
Right.
But like there's no reason a guy shouldn't be able to bet on himself. In my opinion, if you are, not to keep bringing it away from golf, but I guess we could bring it back to golf. So if you're Justin Thomas and you're like, you know what, this is my week, I'm making it happen, and you want to put your potential paycheck on yourself winning the tournament?
Yeah.
Why the heck can't you do that?
Yeah, honestly, I love
What's the problem with that? You're betting on yourself.
Yeah.
Why are you're not going to purposely lose, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no reason that things like that should be an issue. There's no reason that non-PGA sanctioned events shouldn't be able to be bet on by PGA professionals or even their Korn Ferry Tour guys, whatever. Like, just let them do it and obviously monitor it because there could be some issues, but trust them until they give you a reason not to.
Right. And, you know, nothing would like actually gas me up more than hearing like a United States Ryder Cup player being like, yeah, I threw 100K on the US to win the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Fucking light a fire under my ass. I'm ready to run through the wall. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I would love that. That's kind of cool. Like, obviously, if he was like, yeah, I put 100K on us to lose, it's like, well,
that's a problem.
Don't love that because you could actually impact that with the way you play. But we're talking about a sport where millions, if not billions of dollars are on the line week in, week out between these players. And $116.20 just impacted two careers and maybe ended two golf careers.
Yeah. And like, I've done a little bit of sports betting in my time. Don't arrest me.
Right.
We're going to completely take out the whole Bryson and Brooks matchup thing because I think that's completely irrelevant and it's stupid and there's no reason that should be involved at all.
Dumb.
We're just going to focus on the Bryson to birdie a hole. I haven't sports bet in a while, but let's just say it's a par four. He's feeling a little frisky and he wants to bet that Bryson's going to birdie this par four.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds on that? Plus 200? Maybe? Like,
I mean,
$116 is the total amount on these four bets. So let's average it out. We'll say they bet like $30 on a plus 200. we're really going to have a huge issue with that. Like, he's going to win like $15.
Like, yeah. Like, well, like, what are we doing? You know,
it just, it's stupid. And I get it's one of those slippery slope things maybe where you let him do this and then it kind of keeps adding up, but like you can put a cap on it at some point, but this is not the cap to be putting on. This is not the example to be making of people, because these are your guys that are not professionals yet, who are working their butts off week in and week out to get to the point of being professional. Mm-hmm. And they slip up and make one small mistake like this, and you're basically telling them, see ya.
Yeah, they make one small mistake 2 years ago because if they're just hanging out with their buddies or something like that, you know, not being a PGA Tour pro at the time, and decide to make some bets.
Also,
why not?
I got a question.
Sure.
All these guys that get caught for sports betting are doing it on an app.
Right.
What's to stop them from just going to a casino and just betting at a sports book there where they can be anonymous?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Like, I don't understand. Like, how are you going to control that? You're going to tell them they can't go to casinos now? Because that's not going to fly.
Yeah, I not only is it not going to fly, but there's, you know, there is the whole anonymous bit to that. But I think what bothers me the most is, like, the two individuals, they took it and they were like, we apologize for our actions. I was like, this is not something you need to release an apology statement for.
Yeah.
What are we doing? The amount of like really messed up stuff going on in the world, and this is what we're doing. I really feel like we gotta start kind of taking things a little bit less seriously sometimes, especially in the sports world. We gotta stop taking ourselves so seriously with these things. You know, the PGA Tour is one of the biggest organizations as far as sports is concerned in the world. And you're setting the precedent that not only are you willing to out your own players for maybe making a whoopsies 2 years ago and completely change, if not end, their careers or their attempts at a PGA Tour career, but we also know you are ignoring the Saudi war crimes because, you know, you're just going to partner with them. So, where's your moral high ground, PGA Tour?
I would love to like have a visual of the line, right? Because I was gonna bring that up next. Like, these guys aren't allowed to bet $100 on guys that they're not affiliated with, but you're allowed to sell out for billions to the Saudis, who we know aren't the nicest or best people, morally. Yeah. How is that okay? Like, how are you the ones that can say, no, this is morally wrong, you can't do this?
Yeah.
We're going to use our $1.6 billion that we just got from the Saudis last week to sue you or whatever. Like,
for your
like,
$116
or anything like that. But like, how, where's your moral ground? Where is it? Like you said, where's the high ground? How are you any better? You're not. You're way worse. This is stupid. And you just need to let it go.
Yeah, it's a whole really confusing situation. Like, especially for guys like us who follow more closely and kind of have a bigger picture of what the PGA Tour is going through right now, and just the fact that this is even coming up as newsworthy events or anything of the sort is kind of baffling in a way.
Yeah.
So I guess those two guys are suspended for 3 months and 6 months individually. I hope that they're able to turn that around and still continue a career attempt at the PGA Tour, because now with those suspensions, that's another lost year on the Korn Ferry. You're not going to be able to make back those tournaments and get your card unless you like win every tournament you play in, which we know golf is hard. So that's just so messed up to me, because, you know, they're both 27, right? I'm like, they're young, yes.
Yeah.
But that's usually when guys start to emerge as guys that are going to be on the PGA Tour now, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know how close they were, and I don't really know what their standings on the Korn Ferry Tour were at the time or now. But that just feels like a weird stance to take
to
the PGA Tour, you know? But I digress. What are you going to do? To keep moving forward here, there was some action from Phil Mickelson on Twitter. Now, I'm going to read this to you, And if you can attempt to make sense out of this, I'm proud of you. And I'm talking to all the listeners here too, not just you, because this is, I don't know why he felt the need to pop this tweet off. So there was a report by TUGR Golf on October 27th, so a couple days ago. It was a report that the PGA Tour turned down an investment offer, and that investment offer was rejected due to, it was rejected due to, I believe, the partnership agreement between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. Now, obviously, we have our own qualms with this situation, but Phil Mickelson saw this and decided, you want to know what? I'm going to use the money that I pay Twitter Premium for to pop off an entire paragraph, because let's not forget, folks, you have to pay for the ability to tweet this many words. And unfortunately, Phil has that money. So here it is. So for clarity's sake, Endeavor, the company that was going to invest, didn't try to invest 2 years ago. Silver Lake did, another company. Ari and Endeavor, Ari being the CEO who would have been the investor, were to run 8 elevated events, and the players in Silver Lake would own the new elevated events 50-50 in a separate entity. October 30th, 2021, we're whipping out dates now. Ed Herlihy, that is, said the tour would take a hostile view and shut this down if it's not 100% owned by the PGA Tour. I can see where this is going now. Then in February of 2022, Silver Lake went back to Monahan and said the league was going to happen and these new elevated events could prevent players from leaving. And Jay said, quote, the players won't go. They know what we will do to them, unquote. So we won't be doing this. Silver Lake went back to Jay again in May of 2022, and the same conversation took place. Jay and Ed had 3 opportunities to take elevated events that would be fully funded and could prevent division, but their need for control and everything, obnoxious greed in parentheses, blinded their judgment. Let's get the facts straight. All of this is in discovery of the civil case, if it can be obtained. If not, I have it too. So basically what he's saying is a company, an entity, 2 years ago attempted to host and monetize different elevated events outside of the PGA Tour. That would be a 50-50 monetary split between the players and that company, and the PGA Tour could be a backing entity. And the PGA Tour, as any professional organization would say, I'm not a huge fan of our players getting paid and playing elsewhere and us being a supporting entity. These are our players under contract with our league. Don't necessarily love that, right? Yeah. Which makes sense. Feel like is a pretty sensible stance.
Yeah.
Makes like, sense. If NFL players were like, hey, we're going to also go play on the in the XFL real quick, you cool with that? Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the NFLPA or the NFL would be super jazzed about that. So this is, and it's not, I'm not saying it's a cold take from Phil, but it's another situation where he's really trying to shed, you know, blackmail or bad light on the PGA Tour and the way they handled financial situations that would benefit players. And I get where he's trying to come from, but the grave that you've already dug yourself over the last 2 years is not going to help you in these arguments.
He's just not in the right spot to be making accusations.
Right.
Like you said, any professional organization is going to be like, I don't really know how I feel about that. Like, if Patrick Mahomes was like, I'm going to go play in the XFL like during the offseason, right, is that cool with you guys? I guarantee you no one would say yes to that, because guess what? We need you here. Like the PGA Tour is not going to be like, you know what? Take Brooks, take JT, take Jay Spieth. Take them for 8 events. I'm sure they won't like it more than they like it here. And if they do, I'm sure they'll come back.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not taking that chance. Like, obviously they think they're the best, but what if they're not? What if these guys go over there and enjoy themselves and decide they don't want to come back?
Right.
It's a fair fear to have. And if you're not the one benefiting from it, there's no reason that you should want to give up those guys that you have under contract.
100%. And really, the more I read this, the more I'm seeing a lack of mention as to when those events were planned to happen that he just simply did not input here in this very long tweet. I have a feeling that these eight elevated events that would be shared 50-50 between that company and the players were probably planned for during the PGA season, which, by the way, has over 40 events for over 40 weeks. By the way,
is all year.
Like, yeah, doesn't sound great when you're the owner of a company who has a bunch of guys that play in said league. You don't want this. That's not a good business strategy. And I don't think Jay Monahan or the PGA Tour were outside of their full rights to be like, no, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think they're exactly where they should be on that one.
Now, and we're not going to try to give, you know, Phil more of a platform than he really needs, because, you know, I'm sure he does not. But that's just something that's just, it really goes to show you where he's at and where the LIV Tour is at. They're really just still trying to scrounge for any sort of bad press on the PGA Tour, even willing to, you know, mention something on Twitter about a 2 years ago contract that almost happened, right? We're really digging deep here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Phil's going to fill. That's just the thing. Last bit of news here, but, you know, could take up a good chunk here, is we have good detailed information about the TGL League that Rory and Tiger are putting on. We've talked about it a bunch before. We keep talking about it every time we get a morsel of information, and now we have actual true details about how the play will happen, where it will happen, who's going to, like, how the team's going to work out, what it's going to look like. So here we go. We got some information. We're going to go one by one here. So TGL is going to be hosted on Monday nights in an arena at Palm Beach State College that's going to seat 1,600 fans. So 1,600 fans would be able to go and attend in person. Those tickets are probably going to be hella expensive, by the way. That's not a lot.
Yes, very much so.
January 9th is going to be the first event date. So it'll be happening basically right when the new year kicks off, which is going to be super cool. It's going to be 6 4-man teams. I think we already knew about the 6 4-man team thing. We already mentioned a lot of the guys going to be playing there. So it is going to be a 3v3 format. So before each match, teams will designate the three players that are playing that week. Okay. Little weird. So there's just leave a guy out. But, you know, I guess every team's got bench players, right? That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess they're going
to
be...
Someone wins a tournament on Sunday, you're not going to expect them to show up on Monday.
Sure, you know. And, you got bench bats, it works out that way. You know what I mean? So the first shots, right? So this is how it's actually going to go, which is something that we were super curious about for a while. The first shots that will be taken are going to be on real grass. So real tee boxes, real fairways, real rough. From a bunker, it's going to be out of the sand, the whole deal, right?
Okay.
And now these shots are going to be hit into a screen monitor, and it's going to be a 64-foot by 46-foot full swing monitor. Which, if you didn't know what that's going to look like, folks, it's going to be massive. That's going to be a huge monitor. The reason for its size is they said it'll be the most accurate that technology could provide for what the shot would actually look like. Which, hey, if you have the money, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because, you know, like, usually the full swing monitors are, like, I don't know, 2 feet by 2 feet and, like, just kind of behind you on, like, at a regular driving range or stuff like that. Or they're above you if you're at, like, 5 iron or something like that.
Yeah.
This one's going to have so many sensors. It could probably sense if one of the players farts. You know,
I hope it does.
I hope it does too. But it's going to be the most accurate the ability that they could have scientifically for how these shots are going to look, spin.
So it's a direction. Simulated tournament?
In a way, yes. Okay. I'll explain some more here. Any shots that are 50 yards or less, they're going to move to a custom built green complex that has the ability to change per hole. It has the ability, the green can change elevations and ebbs and flows, and so can the shots from outside the green. So everything's going to be kind of on a platform in a way, but it's going to be real grass. It's not going to be like fake grass, like if you're at a 5 iron or something like that. I'm super interested to see how that's going to pan out.
Yeah, this is intricate.
That feels like a lot of technology happening underneath real grass.
Yeah.
That feels like any lawn engineer's nightmare. So anyone that graduated from Delaware Valley College and has a degree in lawn care, hit us up if that sounds like hell to you, because that does not sound like a good time.
Yeah, I'm very confused. I'm curious to see how this all works out.
Yeah, so that, I mean, just that alone is that, and this 64-foot by 46-foot swing monitor sound massive. Insane. This just so sounds big. Insane. So the whole thing, the whole complex is going to be about the size of a football field.
Okay.
So they have a good amount of space, it sounds like. Which makes sense if from 50 yards in, you have to have an entire technologically advanced green fairway rough system. Sounds like a lot to me.
Yeah.
But we're going to see how it pans out, obviously. So the actual gameplay, this is how the matches are actually going to go. So the first 9 holes are going to be 3-man alternate shots. So, you know, for example, say it's a team with Tiger, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Shane Lowry or something like that. So Tiger takes your tee shot, Matt Fitzpatrick takes your second shot, and you have Shane putting. You know, we don't know if that's how it's going to work. The teams aren't even decided yet, but that's going to be basically how it goes. That's how the alternate shot will pan out. That's going to be for the first 9 holes. That's going to be called session 1 of a match. Session 2 is going to be 6 holes. And those are going to be singles matches straight up. So each player that's playing that day is going to be playing 2 singles matches in those possible 6 holes in session 2.
Okay.
So far that is only 15 holes of golf.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. 3 more.
Every hole is only worth a point, and there's not going to be any, what's the word I'm looking for? Carryover. Right. So if your team wins 4 holes, the other team wins 2 holes, the score is going to be 4-2. It's not like a match play situation where there's a push or a carryover or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a bit different than what we know from golf, which, you know, golf likes to be confusing all the time. So that's actually a bit more straight up and probably a bit more, you know, stomachable and understandable for those that don't actually watch golf all the time. So I actually like how the scoring is going to work. So if an event is tied after both sessions, it's going to go into a sudden death, which is going to be 3 closest to the pin singles matches.
That's amazing.
That is one of the most electric ways to settle an overtime. I love that so much.
I don't understand why the PGA Tour doesn't just hire Tiger and Rory to do everything.
Does that not sound?
Because this just is so already a million times more interesting to the average fan, the non-fan, and everything in between. This is more interesting than a normal PGA Tour event.
100%.
And it's on Monday?
It's prime on time, Monday.
I'm assuming. Like, this is going to be.
Yeah, it's before Monday Night Football.
Yeah, this is going to get looks. Like, people are going to watch this. Right before Monday Night Football? Yeah.
I need a majority of these events to end in a tie.
Yes.
I need it. Because the ability to have 3 of, you know, some of the best golfers in the world, a majority of the best golfers in the world, you have 1 shot to get closest to the pin. There's not a putt at the end of this, by the way. It's just how close can you get to that target, and can you beat the other guy? Because if you can, that's 1 point.
Yeah. This is amazing as far as everything we know so far. There is one group of people that absolutely hates this news, and that is wives of golf people girlfriends or fiancés of golf people, because 95 to 100% of golf fans are also football fans, which means not only is Sunday completely booked, now Monday is also completely booked.
Dude, it's gonna be like Monday at like 6 p.m. too.
Yeah.
So you're cooked from Monday 6 you're p.m. done. To like midnight. Yeah.
Sunday from 1 to whenever Sunday Night Football's over, and then Monday from 6 to whenever Monday Night Football's over.
You've lost them. I'm sorry, ladies. You've lost your husbands, boyfriends, fiancés. They're gone.
They're the one group of people that hates this.
Uh-huh. even better, and not really even better, but another another part of this that I think is really cool is the way that the point system for wins is going to work. It's going to be exactly like hockey. 2 points for a W. If you go into fantastic. Overtime, you get one.
That's so good.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Man. This whole thing, as I mean, obviously, we're questioning a little bit about the green and the way that technology is going to work with real grass makeup. That's going to be a bit weird, I think. But if they're able to hash that out and make that like about as seamless as possible, this could be the coolest version of golf that we've ever seen. It really could
be. Yes, it very much could be.
I
like the PGA Tour was worried about the LIV Tour. It's one of those things where, like, I don't know how long they've had this in the works for, but it's like they waited until there was something else that was way more attention grabbing, and then they were like, oh yeah, by the way, we're gonna do this.
Dude.
And this thing is so electric and so amazing that it's gonna make both of you look horrible. And no one's going to want to watch either of you because they're only going to be waiting for Monday night.
And what I love is that this league really encapsulates, I think, what a lot of people's opinions just on sports regular seasons basically are. When's the best football to watch in just a regular season football game? The second half. When's the most fun hockey to watch? The third period. When's the most fun basketball to watch? The fourth quarter. Yeah, you watch the first nine holes for the three-man alternate shot. You see who's kind of on that day. You get a feel for the contest, right? Then the second session starts. Six mano-a-mano matches, and if it goes into overtime, mano-a-mano closest to the pin.
Yeah.
Give me the second half, baby. Yeah. I'm alive for that.
Yeah.
And we have that going into football? You're going to have me just electrified going into a Monday Night Football game?
Yeah. The only problem is, the only problem is you're going to get a three-hole sudden death closest to the pin, and it's going to be so electric, and then it's going to just flick right to Monday Night Football, and it's going to be like Chicago versus Tennessee.
Here we are, live in Chicago, Illinois. Just like, oh, man. It's just to? Like
immediate plummet of adrenaline and excitement.
Honestly, if golf has the ability to outdo Monday Night Football, that could completely change the entire aspect of what people's opinions on golf are going to be. I really think something like this not only is going to bring non-golf fan, at least non-golf watching fans into the fold, but probably continue to grow the game, which, I had a little bit of beef recently with growing the game, but just think about the amount of people who are going to watch this and be like, has this been golf the whole time? It's not. It's not.
Yeah, then they're going to go watch a PGA Tour event. They're going to be like, what the heck is this?
Going to be up front with you. This is not how golf has been the whole time, but like, if this winds up being something that is fully encapsulated into the future of golf, and if it's done right and if they do it really well, this could change the whole outlook on the sport in its entirety. It could change the way that people actually golf in the future, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe people are going to start having options. Like, say, there's going to be a golf team in high school and there's going to be a TGL team in high school.
That'd be sick.
You know what I mean? Like, No one would play
for the golf team.
Right. It kind of has happened that way with tennis and pickleball, right? Tennis is a sport.
Yeah.
Pickleball is a smaller, more intense version of that sport. Both have their like abilities. People like both, and actually people that usually like one like the other.
Yeah.
But the smaller, more intense one grew the game.
Yeah.
This could be a same type of style. You know what I mean?
Definitely could be.
It's kind of like field lacrosse and box lacrosse. Both can coexist and support one another, and I really hope that's the way they're going to go with this.
I agree.
Holy cow, man! This, and for do the one thing that you know, the LIV Golf tried to do but failed to do. If you're going to make teams, make the logos cool and print some damn merch, okay? Let me do
it. Give me the merch. Give me the merchandise. Give me the merch.
I want to ride with just a vibes team so hard. I just want to buy the merch. I want to wear a hat. I want to lock in on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Have my heart broken. I'm ready to get hurt again.
We're Philly fans. Yeah. It's just part of who we are at this point.
The only thing that like kind of stinks a little bit, but could obviously change in the future is the fact that all the events are going to happen in the same place, which is Palm Beach, Florida, which I'm never going to get to because 1600 tickets are probably going to sell out really fast and they're going to be very expensive.
I wonder if it's going to be like the Sphere.
No.
Where they can change it. That would be pretty cool.
I think it's going to be outdoor. It might be indoor. It could be indoor. But it didn't specify. It's a brand new arena that they're building. So I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. I haven't seen pictures of it or anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything either.
I mean, I can see if I can find something here because there was the article on golf.com that I got this information from. So let's see if there's pictures of the arena here. No, there's pictures on, you know, how it's going to work out. Like the science behind the moving greens and everything of that nature. Dude, that display screen's huge. Holy cow. Yeah, so there's no images of what the arena looks like quite yet. I'm sure they're probably definitely into the building of it, but it's probably not taking shape quite yet.
Yeah.
They are going to need it for January.
So. I was going to say, they better get going.
You know, they're pretty tight around the corner.
Someone's got to be able to find it.
I mean, it's January 9th of 2024, right? I'm not calling this early here, right? Let's see here. No, it's January 9th. Oh, come on. I do love the hockey standings bit of it, though. I think that's the best part.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's so cool. January 9th, 2024. I mean, it's right on the horizon.
It's not that far away.
Oh man, if that's the return of Tiger,
would be insane.
Oh, come on. To hell with the rest of the any PGA Tour event that you might be able to play coming up, other than the PNC, you want to play with a Charlie, I get with that. Like, yeah, throw those out the window.
Maybe I'm doing too much.
I would love if you did too much.
But continue. Hear me out.
I'm hearing you out.
We can make sure it works first.
Mm-hmm.
But every week,
we
have a first pitch. Except it's a first swing. And every team has to pick someone to take their first swing.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's the best, or not the best ball, you said it's a
alternate shot. Yep.
So every team has to pick someone.
Right.
They can't play in the celebrity tournaments, but they do have to be a celebrity.
Oh.
So let me paint picture for you, okay?
Paint it for me. Paint it. Give it to me.
It's Monday night. You just finished a rough day at work. Get home.
Right.
Turn on the TV. The Golf League pops up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. 6 o'clock on the Monday night. We got some golf followed up by some football. Uh-huh. You're sitting there.
I'm locked in.
Pops up on the screen. Danny DeVito. First shot of the night. Danny DeVito.
And across from him, Bert Kreischer take the other first shot for the other team. Oh no.
Maybe I'm doing too much. Okay. That sounds amazing.
Maybe. I love it. I don't think they would love it. Personally, for me though, sounds incredible. Good. let's do it. Even better, and this will be the last bit here, but even better. It's going to be on ESPN.
Yeah.
It's none of this CW Philly stuff. It's not gonna be on TBS, it's not on the USA Network. TNT, it's going to be Each event is going to be on ESPN.
Except for, you know, it's stupid. I have ESPN Plus, and ESPN never works for me. How do I have ESPN Plus, but not ESPN?
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, just their ability to really gouge us for money is impressive.
Why do I have the plus sign if I just want the regular?
Can I have the regular in the plus? I feel like the plus there relevant, insinuates the regular would also be there. But what are you
gosh. I just got the update that it's apparently 10-0 in the third inning.
Woof. Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that, Arizona?
Anyway.
Go ahead, Arizona. Keep talking.
Hate the people that are like, ah, oh, they beat us. Hopefully they win. That way we lost to the champion. No.
No.
I hope you guys get smacked around.
I hope they get throttled. I'm not usually one to ever root for a team from Dallas, but in this specific situation.
They're not from Dallas. They're farther from Dallas.
Arlington's not that far away.
It's not Dallas. That far, but it's not Dallas.
Yeah, but it's Dallas's team. And you know it is. You know what I mean? Because no one from Dallas is going to root for the Astros. That's just a fact.
Well, that's Dallas's team, and the Cowboys are America's team. So,
the only team from Dallas that I have some sort of respect for is the Dallas Stars, and that's it.
Fair.
And when they changed their colors from the really sick golden green for the mid-2000s to whatever the hell that new green is, I lost a lot of respect for them. So there's not a lot, okay? But their
is
whole
there respect that you is there respect that you have for them from the Jamie Benn era?
I mean, no, I love Jamie Benn, don't get me wrong, but the Jamie Benn kind of came at the end of the cool jerseys. I'm talking like Marty Turco, Mike Modano, like the mid-2000s when they won a cup. Those jerseys with the actual gold and like the dark green, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, when he went to that like neon weird, gross. But yeah, good team. It's a good hockey team right there. But I digress. That's all the golf information we have for you folks this week. We do have, you know, again, we'll say we are not going to have an episode this next week as it is Rick's bachelor party. I'm probably going to be recovering from one hell of a hangover. And Rick's going to just want to take a nap because he's going to lose sleep. So
yes,
we aren't going to have an episode next week, but that's okay. That's okay. I know you guys will miss us. I get it. We'll be back. We're not going for long. Just a week. You'll be fine.
Just temporary.
And we even delayed this one so that you could have less of a delay to the next episode. You're welcome.
Exactly.
You're welcome, honestly.
You're welcome.
As always, guys, thank you so much for hitting play on the episode. We love it that you guys continue to come back every week and listen. It means the most to us, so thank you so much. Go ahead and follow us on our socials, @FromTheTips_pod on Instagram and @FTT_pod on X. We'd really appreciate it if you guys followed us on there. We don't have a huge following, and you know we're not super active on there. We try to get better with it. We're just not very good at staying
active. We don't pay for it.
Yeah, it's not our best asset here. We're better at talking in a microphone. So honestly, also share with your friends. Please share the episodes. Share with your buddies. Play it in the car when you're hanging out with your friends. Play it in the golf cart where you're golfing. I'm sure that our sweet, soothing voices will do nothing but help your golf game. I'm sure, really. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. And we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.